Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's good, y'all? This is Breeze Brewing from the Mighty Juggernauts. And make sure you subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Hip-hop journalism on the highest level.
Yeah, what's up? It's your boy Joel Ortiz, and I want everybody to make sure that they subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Yo, Tim, I hope all is well. You my guy. I know these interviews are not interviews. They're actually conversations, and I appreciate them all. Yara.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ice-T. I want you to do something for me. Make sure you download and subscribe Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It is official. All right? Stop playing. Download and subscribe. Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It's cold.
And there's a lot of tension going on. And, you know, it wasn't really an East Coast, West Coast beef. It was just Pac and Big going at each other. You know, they had problems. And the worst problems is when you're fighting with somebody who you used to be friends with, and Pac and Big were friends. So that was turning into the East Coast, West Coast beef. Not to mention Biggie getting killed in California wasn't a good look. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm in New York City at the time when Big got shot, and I get a phone call. And they were like, yo, Ice, be careful that somebody just killed Biggie out here in L.A. We know you in New York. We don't want, you know, tit for tat. Somebody might just take off on you, you know, because you're West Coast. And it just started, the press started to push the line, like, whose fault is this and that? And before you know it, it was the headlines of, I think, Vibe magazine, East Coast, West Coast beef. And I just wanted to make a song to try to squash it, you know? And we were doing this thing on the radio where we would come on, me and Lisa Evers would come on, and we would broadcast from LA and New York simultaneously and let LA people talk to New York people. So we were trying to really nip that in the bud because, you know, you don't want people in New York to go to L.A. and get shot at, or vice versa.
Yeah.
When it really wasn't supposed to be that to begin with. So, yeah, Valuable Game was just me saying, hey, man, we, you know, some of y'all busses out there trying to waste up what it took all some of us hustlers all this time to lace up. Like, we've got a good thing going, you know, let's not fuck it up. You know, hip-hop's become the game of death, you know? So there's a lot of shit I said in that record, but I did it in a different style of rap where I'm just talking. And, it might be one of the most motivational thing because it's me singing about hip-hop as a whole and trying to save hip-hop.
Hmm. I want to fast forward to 2012. You know, you produced, directed Something for Nothing, The Art of Rap.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the documentary with, just name a few, Kane, Chuck.
Yeah,
you know,
everybody.
Everyone.
Everybody that was in my phone was in that movie.
What 9 years later, looking back at that film, is there anything you would want to have changed from it? What do you think, and what do you think the long-lasting impact has been on it so far?
Now, that movie happened because I was watching TV, you know, and I want to direct feature films and stuff. And they said, most directors start with a documentary. Okay, so I said, okay. Then I was watching this other thing where they said, if you're going to start a business, start with the thing you're most familiar with, the lowest hanging fruit. So I said, okay, I'm going to do a movie. I'm going to do a doc. What's the lowest hanging fruit? It would either have to be gang shit, street shit, you know, kind of like some of the projects I just showed you before we started, or it would be rap. But I said, the gang shit, street shit, those aren't stars. Rap are really stars. So people might tune in. So I said, you know what? This is a great time to document hip hop, because hip hop is making a turn and it's going into a more musical style. It's not as lyrical, it's changing. And also we're losing a lot of hip hoppers. So let me document those that are alive. Let's get in here. So I just called people up. I called Eminem. I called all these different friends. I said, if I came and shot you, would you answer 10 questions? I only got 10 questions. Sure, Ice. So I had access. Mm-hmm. And I got with a camera crew, a company out of England. And we shot. It took 2 years to shoot the movie. The crazy thing is I have a, when the movie was cut, it was a 4-hour cut. And then Sundance said it had to be 90 minutes. So we had to edit the hell out of that movie. I just think making a doc, you just want it to be respected. I think it's respected. I think somebody who watches it tomorrow will get the same thing out of it that people watched it 9 years ago. They get to see Rakim break down how he raps. And since then, we've me and Mickey have done the Art of Rap Tour, right, which is still on the road. We have a big one coming up in California, headlined by Cypress Hill. Art of Rap Tour is like my Lollapalooza. It's like I created it, but I'm not the star of it. It has every different time it plays, it has a different lineup based on, you know, what the promoter in that region wants. Mm-hmm. And we have access to all the golden age hip hoppers, you know. The last one I did was me, Too Short, Kane, EPMD, Bone Thugs and Harmony. So Art of Rap Tour will be out there till the wheels fall off. You know, it gives the people from the golden era, like Slick Rick, like Dos FX, people that have sold gold and platinum records, a place to perform. Because we sell out arenas, but, you know, no disrespect, but if, you know, EPMD's waiting on Drake to call him to go on tour, they probably won't go on tour.
Right.
You know, Drake is going to call somebody from his genre, you know, his era, and as he should. But that doesn't mean people don't want to see, you know, we don't even say old school. We say golden era hip hop. You know, people still will come see LL. They still want to see Wu-Tang. They still want to see Ice Cube, you know. So Art of Rap provides that.
And I think also the great thing about this movie was that not just you obviously had access to all these amazing artists, is that it's easy to say that you're fans of their music as well. And so I was happy to see, and you know, came across a Hip Hop DX article. You had an interview with them about a possible album you might want to drop, and your inspiration was Scarface's Deeply Rooted,
right?
Which is an incredible album, and the last, like a hidden track, Mental Exorcism, is one of my favorite tracks on that album.
I just got off the phone just now with a producer named Charlemagne out of the Bronx, who's begging me to do an album. You know, I mean, he's a super producer. He actually produced one of the SMG albums I did with Smooth the Hustler and Trigger, The Gambler. And he's like, come on, Ice, you know. It's just about getting in that right zone. See, the thing of it is, for me to make a record right now, I know they're not going to play it on the radio. I don't care. Wu-Tang can drop the hottest record in the history of the world. It will not get rotation because there's new kids that need that, the spins.
Right.
And that's just what it is. Now, can't be mad about that. You know, why would I be mad? I mean, there was a 5-year, 10-year period where we wanted to cover every magazine anywhere you went. So we had our ride. It's time for other people to have their ride. No biggie. But for me, it's like, okay, you're gonna spend some time, go in and cut an album that you might get on some mix shows. You know, your fan base will like it. But I just, you know, I just got to get motivated. It's like, it's got to be the right storm. Like when I heard Scarface's record, Face was like, I'll produce your whole record. I'm like, all right. we can go in. But as an artist, it's got to be the right. See, it's different when you, I mean, I'm saying this with all humility. It's different when you got to put out that next album to pay your rent.
Right.
If you don't put out an album, you're not looking at any money. But at this point, I don't really need the money from the album. So now I just need the time to do it, you know, and the want to do it. It's a different motivation. It's a better motivation than really needing the money. It's because now I can just be truly artistic. But I've been doing these K-Slay videos, the Rolling 100 Deep, 100, and everybody's really reacting to my bars. They're like, ice, ice, ice. And then after we watched Jadakiss just destroy shit, I think people are now starting to listen to the rappers again. Right. Like, what are y'all saying? You know, so who knows? Maybe this year. Maybe this year.
And you wouldn't necessarily, because of where you are in your career, you wouldn't necessarily have to go on tour for the album or sell the
merch. I would just do the album just to do it.
What was it about? I mean, there's so many, I think, amazing tracks on Deeply Rooted. Mm-hmm. What was it for you? What was it about that album that kind of stood out to you?
I just liked the fact that it was mature. You know, it was him rapping from who he is now. You know, nobody wants to hear me rap like 18-year-old Ice-T. They want to know what's going on in my life now. The thing of it is they don't think there's no struggles. They don't think that, okay, well, Ice, you relatively successful, but you don't have no problems. Nah, I could go out of here in the street. Like Chris Rock said, I'm famous from about 10 feet away in good light. You know what I'm saying? A cop can put a bullet in the back of my head. Haters are out there talking shit. You know, people want to get it. You know, the stuff still is there. You know, you can get into any kind of altercation. My buddy, my young player partner, Gonzo, just got killed a week ago, you know, at a gas station, at a bowling alley up in Seattle. Like, who would have thought that? You know, he ain't gang banging no more. What is happening? So my dogs are running around upstairs. It's like you're always you, and you know, life situations might change, but some stay the same. You know, you can have family problems, you can have girl problems. Look at Dr. Dre going through a divorce. It's all kinds of shit.
Right.
So rapping as an adult and rapping from that perspective was very interesting to me. And this Scarface is just such a badass rapper. You know, he's so literal. I like literal rappers. I've always liked Face. I like Ice Cube. I don't mind decoding some rappers, but then I also like rappers that you know exactly what the fuck they're saying.
Right.
Just no, like, you know, special, you know, decoder ring you need to read to get to it. That's a style, though, but that's okay. That's cool.
I know you like pausing. You're like, all right, I got to go to genius.com, figure this thing out for a second.
I think Wu-Tang invented that heavy slang where you just like, okay, wait a minute. What the fuck did that mean?
You know, we're here and we're on allhiphop.com, so I have to ask you about the late Biz Markie.
Yeah.
I passed away about a month ago. For those who don't know, what was your kind of, do you remember your first kind of meeting him?
Absolutely. The first time I really met Biz was on tour. And we shared a tour bus. Our first tour, our big tour, was the Dope Jam tour. It was myself. It was Biz Markie with TJ Swan. It was KRS-One, Miss Melody, D Nice. It was Kumo D. It was Dougie Fresh and Eric B and Rakim, those six bands. And we were the openers, so we had to share a tour bus to save money. So here I am with meeting Bismarck really up close and personal for about 100 shows. And we just became close friends. I mean, there's not a day he's ever mad. He turns everything into a joke. He sings. In hip hop, there's a few people that are absolutely real. Like, you might think it's an act, it's not an act. Like Flavor Flav, it's Flavor Flav. Right. Like what you see, that's who Flav is all the time. When you seen Old Dirty Bastard, that's who Old Dirty Bastard was. Some of these people, it's an act. You know, they can turn it off and on. Biz Markie's always Biz Markie. Cool Keith is always Cool Keith. So I love those kinds of people. And those people, they never get mad, and I would never want to see them mad, you know? But yeah, it broke my heart losing Biz. You know, I had just been with him at Tretch's birthday. Wedding. And then I was another event. I seen Cool V by himself, and he told me that Biz was in the hospital dealing with diabetes. And you just don't think they're going to pass away,
right?
You know? And so many people are dying from COVID. And yeah, it broke my heart. I went to the funeral. You know, 57 years old.
Yes.
You know, but
I got to see him once at the 9:30 Club
right.
in D.C.
Right.
And I think it was part of the Root Show.
Right.
And it just looked like he was just having fun. And like that energy was just like, it just, you know, played off the crowd so well.
Even the way he rapped, it was like, you know, it was almost like he would freestyle and say the craziest stuff and the wildest stuff. The last picture I got him being Biz, he's sitting in my lap. I mean, the dude's like 300 pounds, he sat in my lap. But, you know, you are not going to find anybody who could say something bad about Biz Markie. He was just, and he brought humor to hip hop. He brought outrageousness to hip hop. You know, him and Shante doing songs like Picking Boogers. Like, who the fuck does that? You know? So, and when he sung Benny and the Jets on TV, like, who does that? That's Biz. He'll be missed. And he won't be replicated.
No. Imagine. Oh, man. All right. Just can't believe. Tough to believe that he's gone. I want to turn a little bit to kind of, I guess, early influences for you. And in a way where, you know, obviously today, because of online, if you're West Coast, you can hear East Coast easily. If you're East Coast, you hear West Coast, and vice versa. I remember DJ Bugs telling a story about in the early days, and, you know, Be Real talks about it too, that DJ Muggs used to fly from Cali to New York and then get cassette tapes and bring them back, and the Cypress Hill would be able to listen to them as well. Do you remember your first, I guess, East Coast and artist that you heard that kind of amazed you, and then the first West Coast artist that you heard that amazed you?
Well, I was in the Army when hip-hop really hit and Sugar Hill Gang came out. And then the cats that were from New York had tapes. And they had, you know, the tapes of Flashes on the Beat Boss going to these legendary tapes and stuff. And the legendary battle of Kumo D and Busy B and all that kind of stuff. And hip-hop is so, like, it's just so entrancing. Like when you first see hip hop and the elements, you know, you look at graffiti, you're like, yo, that's so dope. Or you watch a DJ, you're like, it's so dope. Or you watch a breakdancer, everything is fascinating. So hip hop has like four big hooks that'll catch you. One of them will catch you,
right?
You know? And the cool thing about hip hop, it just made you, it was difficult, but it was attainable. Like if you practice, you could do it. So, I just remember just listening to, like, Cold Crush Brothers, early tapes, you know, Funky Four Plus One More. I remember first time I saw Wild Style, the movie, I got blown away. And on West Coast, the first rapper I really heard was Toddy T. Toddy T and them were doing, like, parodies of songs, you know, like, the Freaks Come Out at Night. They did The Clucks Come Out at Night, talking about crackheads and the Batteram, you know. And they were, like, really beating up the streets, like mixtapes. I heard them and, of course, Too Short, Out of the Bay, you know, Freaky Tales. These are the tales. And I met Too Short really early in my career. His guys that he was working with brought him down, and me and him made friends early. But, you know, those are my first memories. I remember listening to, of course, Curtis Blow, You know, Curtis Blow had a very important part in my career because I did a rap contest in L.A. at Carolina West, and Curtis Blow was a judge, and I won. And having a real rapper like him say I won made me believe, whoa, I might have something, you know? So all these things slowly moved me over into thinking rap could be something, you know?
You obviously are not just an MC, artist, producer, as mentioned before. And Talib Kweli, when we interviewed him before, he talked about how he's, you know, he's podcasting now, he's an author, and not just touring or and what he said was that, you know, what he learned from being able to be an author and a podcaster is that he doesn't have to tour till he's dead. You know, he doesn't have to tour to continuously make money. And he's fortunate and he's very appreciative that he could do that. And you've also in the past have been very, and your Twitter as well, you're very open about how much money you make for a commercial, for you know, example like that. If rap could pay you television money, would you drop TV and focus more on emceeing, or is it just like you're such the artist as an actor that you just continue to do that?
Well, you know what? Honestly, it's a good question. But honestly, see, there's two types of money with rap.
Right.
One is what we call mailbox money, where you make the record and you sell a lot of records and a lot of royalties come in and you just get a, you get paid. The next one is you got to go out and gig. I don't mind gigging, but of course, I don't like doing it as much as I used to. If you want to go out and gig and really make a lot of money, you'd have to gig maybe 250 days a year. You'd have to really hit the road hard. I got a family now. You know, I got a kid. I've done that. I've been around the world 10 times. Like, I already done that. So I like the ability to do Law and Order and have a job where I go to work, come back. And I still gig on the weekends. I can still do a show on the weekends. But to wipe that slate clean, I mean, honestly, I don't think if I had, because being able to do more things is more fulfilling.
Right.
If I, if even if rap paid me and all I could do is rap, then I would be a rapper that wanted to act. I would like, damn, I want it. I wish I could act. So to be able to act, to be able to do rock, to be able to do rap, I'm living the dream. I get it all, you know. And acting, you start liking it. But what happens is with this, what happens, Tim, is you're unknown. You become known with rap, okay? You sell a million records, blah, blah, blah. Oh, guess what? Maybe he could be in this movie. That's how I got in New Jack City, not because I was an actor, it was because I sold millions of records, and that opened that door. Well, shit, now he's selling this. Now he's on 40 million TVs a week. Maybe he can sell some Tide, you know? And another door opens. And as these things evolve, people are like, hey, why don't you become part of our hotel? Now they're using your fame to fund other things. And that's what happened with Jay-Z. That's why Puffy is doing Ciroc. Puffy's doing Ciroc because he was already famous. And his fame transcended into the liquor, which propelled him. So what it is that as you move up in music, as those doors open, don't turn them down. Right. Investigate them. You know, who would know that Mos Def would like acting? You know what I'm saying? But he's a great actor. So I tell the youngsters, I'm like, very few people will take hip hop for a ride like I've taken it for. But got to remember, I'm not really a rapper. I taught myself how to rap. You know, I'm a hustler. So when I taught myself how to rap, that opened some doors. And one of my boys told me, he said, maybe your entire rap career was your audition for film.
That's dope. Good line.
That was your audition to get into movies. And maybe, and that, now look at Will Smith, you know. As you get older, your time becomes more precious. So the compensation for your time becomes into play. So if you're going to make an album and it's going to take a year of your life and you're going to bust your ass and do it and you put it out and it only sells X amount of dollars, it's like a wasted year. So you're like looking for something that's more guaranteed. Mm. So when I go on Law and Order is a season. You get picked up for 3 seasons. That's 23 episodes a season. You know what you're getting paid per episode. You put that in the bank.
Right.
Right? With music, you're going to put out that record and you're going to hope that it sells. And they may not sell. Or you think I'm going to go on tour and COVID hits and there ain't no tours. We put out the Carnivore album last year. 2 weeks after we dropped it, COVID hit. We haven't been able to play one song off that album, the album that won the Grammy, live because of COVID. We just played a concert 2 weeks ago, and that was the first time we were ever able to play anything off of that. So I think a smart hustler is going to cover his lanes. You want a multiple income streams. You want, you know, do a little music here, do something for a video game here, do commercial here. Just play all your options.
A few more questions. Yeah. You know, you talk about body count, you talk about an MC. Is there a song or maybe a line from a song in body count that you're like, that kind of impresses yourself, you know, that you wrote that you're like, oh, I'm good. And then there's a line as an MC that you kind of wrote or a song that you're like, oh, wow, I can't believe I've created that.
I don't know. I think the last album, my favorite song, the one I get the most inspiration out of, is a song I did called On Another Level, which is, you know, how I push past, you know, you said I'd never be shit, you know, and it's an inspirational song I did with Jamie Jasser. And, you know, now I don't know far as one of my lyrics that fascinate me. I don't know. There's so many. I say so much wild shit. I don't know. And, you know, people, no. I mean, because it's bars, so it's bars and stuff. Like, I like the rhyme I do on my show now, I do this thing where I play Bobby Shmurda's beat. And I say, bitch niggas perpetrating the sport. Fake motherfuckers reading Rob Report. Bitch boy, you'll never get far. You suck a dick for a play on World Star. I ride hard, black car bent in the tent. It's all good. Too much wood. Haters truly hate what they wish they could. I'm golden when I'm rolling all up in your hood. Gang bang, black tie tucks with the upper crust. Step to me stupid outside, I might fucking bust. Stop lying, bitch, let the truth speak. Start dying, no vegan, I cook beef. I'm rough terrain, bad traffic. M16 fully auto with the holographic. I'm so classic, I peel your cap back. Anyone can get his fit at a snap back. I'm that old school nigga with the gray hair paralyzed. Still have you killed from a wheelchair. I said I have you killed from a wheelchair. I think I caught a body about a week ago.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just rhyming. And to me, good rap don't require a beat. It's just lyrics. And I tell cats, I say, the trick is it has to be entertaining. You know, you can rhyme a bunch of words together, and it just, if it's not entertaining, you're showing verbal dexterity, but it's not entertaining. Chuck says, I don't rhyme for the sake of Ritalin.
Right.
So, you know, that's the trick. And I love it, you know, when it's done well.
And we saw, and you mentioned earlier, we saw Jada Kiss, right? And
Jada Kiss killed it.
So I have to ask you, would you ever do a versus? Or would you ever want to? I mean, it's kind of...
I don't, first off, nah. Nah. I don't know. You never say never, but I don't know who I would go up against, you know? And I don't know. It's not something... I was talking to Dre about it. Dre was like, nah, I don't want to do versus. You know, I'm like, who would go up against Dr. Dre? But I don't know. It's not on my bucket list. It's not like I'm watching versus like, ooh, I want to get on there. No, not at all.
Legendary Ice-T. Thank you so much, as always, for being on allhiphop.com for Sense of Library to Monica. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me in the library, and we know there's many more questions to be asked, yes. But we're going to leave it right here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Peace.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.